Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of your word. And as we engage with your word today, that tells the story of people many years ago, we pray that it may also be informative, encouraging, challenging, and relevant as we seek to be your people in this place at this time. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. If you could go anywhere in the world, if funds were no limit, if time was unlimited, where would you go? I have to say, I've always had a bit of a travel bug. And it might come back to haunt me a little bit, because when I was about 18 or 19, I went off travelling. I went off to Canada for the summer and worked as a student and had a great time for 3 months in Toronto. The following summer, when I was about 19 or 20, I backpacked for 6 weeks around Greece and Turkey. It was just fantastic. Why is it coming back to haunt me? Because Laura, in the next couple of years, is already saying, "Dad, but you went off travelling. I want to go off travelling." So I can understand my parents much better. But I don't think I would deny that to her. The world is a wonderful place, wonderful cultures, wonderful people to meet. Although I have to say that no matter where I went in the world, I love to come home again. My heart is in Ireland. I don't think I could ever imagine living anywhere else but Ireland. But why do I share all of that? Well, we're going to go on a journey today. And we're going to go on a journey with the Apostle Paul over the last 15 chapters of the Acts of the Apostles. I'm just going to take a photo snap of a few places that he goes. And we're going to go on a journey that lasts for Paul about 15 years. Now, remember the gospel message and the early church has started in Jerusalem, sort of the Middle East. It then starts to spread out into Israel. And eventually, it spreads into some of the near surrounding countries. And I want us to notice how many of the names are so familiar to today. In fact, maybe some of us have been to some of these places. But where we left Paul last week was Acts 13. He and Barnabas are in Antioch, which is in Syria, in the Middle East. And again, we hear that on the news, don't we? This week, Pope Francis meeting people who were refugees from Syria. And he and Barnabas begin to head out on an evangelistic journey. So let's see where the journey takes them and note the different places that they go. The first journey is recorded in Acts 13 to 15, and Paul and Barnabas sail from Syria over to the island of Cyprus. Anybody been to Cyprus? No one been to Cyprus? No, it's a place that I haven't been either. And in Cyprus, they evangelize the island of Cyprus, and then they head back to Antioch via southern Turkey. So that's the first journey that Paul goes on. The second journey then is covered in Acts 15 to 18. And this time, Paul is accompanied by someone called Silas. And they head back through Turkey. So from Syria into Turkey. And then they travel across that piece of water that's been in the news for the last number of months. Will we ever forget the images of that little small boy that was washed up on the shore? Do you remember? Was it last summer or autumn? That's the journey that Paul makes from Turkey into Greece, into what we call modern day Europe. And from Greece, he travels to places like Galatia and Thessalonica. Thessalonica is one of the cities that maybe people fly into perhaps before going on to some of the islands that are around Greece. And Paul often writes about these journeys in his own epistles, the epistle to the Galatians or the Thessalonians. And then Paul heads to Macedonia, and then eventually he comes back to Athens. He continues to teach the word of God, but that may have been a practical thing to go back and to earn some money to fund some more of his missionary trips. Then the third trip that he takes is that he heads to Turkey, and he goes to places like Ephesus. Anyone again ever been in Ephesus? As a student, as I say, I travelled through Greece and Turkey. And there's three things that I am reminded about being in Ephesus. Number one, they have a great sales technique. They want to sell you carpet anywhere you go in Turkey. But they either entice you into the shop with apple tea or beer. And you can imagine a student travelling around. I drank a lot of apple tea. I don't think I bought any carpets. But anyway, that's how they try and sell things to you in Turkey. But one of the places that we did travel to was Ephesus. It's in ruins now. But there's a great big amphitheatre. Probably holds hundreds and thousands of people. But Paul preached the gospel message. And you can go and stand in that place where he travelled all those centuries ago. And eventually he heads back to Syria and then to Jerusalem. He goes back to where the early church has its roots. And he updates those leaders. He updates people like Peter. And he tells them what God has accomplished through his various missionary journeys into what we call modern day Europe. And it sounds very straightforward, doesn't it? It sounds as though Paul has the ideal job, going about all these sun-soaked places telling people about Jesus. But actually, if we were to spend time in these last 15 chapters, we would find that Paul is often jailed. He often is beaten and persecuted in the places that he goes. He often ends up being imprisoned. But God continues to use those situations to influence people's lives. For example, when he is jailed in Philippi with Silas, the jailer who is looking after Paul encounters the living Christ, and he and his family become Christians, and you can imagine the influence that brings to others. Paul's third trip then ends back in Jerusalem. The leaders have him arrested, and we looked at this on Easter morning. He comes before Festus and Agrippa, imprisoned. In fact, his last journey, he sets sail for Italy in Acts 26. And as he sails to Italy, the boat is shipwrecked off Malta. He spends some time having survived the shipwreck in Malta. And then 3 months later, he travels on again, still under arrest, to Rome, to Italy. And interestingly, Luke records that the Christian faith has already arrived in Italy. Some of the people who had encountered the gospel message have travelled perhaps through business or for learning or for political reasons, commercial reasons, have already brought the gospel message to Italy. Remember, the Roman Empire is in full force at this stage, and the influence that the Roman Empire has around the world is absolutely monumental. And as Paul arrives into Rome, the message of the gospel has already gone before him. And that brings us to our passage, the last 8 verses of Acts 28. So if you want to follow along, just want to pick a few quick things out just to set before us today. So verse 23 tells us Paul is under house arrest, and verse 30 tells us that he lives in a rented house for the next 2 years. He uses the limited resources, the limited freedom, to still tell people about Jesus. And I think one of the great learning things that we can take from someone like Paul and the opportunities that he's using, that it's not about big things, it's not about huge resources, it's about a willingness of heart. We, relatively speaking, are small in number. Relatively speaking, as a group of parishes, we are limited in our resources, and yet that should not ever stop us serving God, loving God, and making his name known in this community. We read, going back to verse 23, that people came in large numbers to the place where Paul is staying. And he literally teaches and witnesses to people from morning to evening. He explains to people about the kingdom of God, and he tries to persuade them about Jesus. And then, as we read on in verse 24, we find a very human response. Some people were convinced by what Paul says, do you notice that? While other people would not believe. And again, that is symptomatic of all humans. Some people embrace the gospel of Jesus, and other people say, it's a load of rubbish. It's only about a big, makey-uppy fairy god in the sky. But it reminds us that Paul's task, that our task as the people of God, is not to guilt people into believing. Our purpose is to proclaim God's grace, is to tell people of God's love about God's forgiveness of sins through Christ, and the rest is up to the individual. It's up to you and it's up to I how we respond to the gospel message. All we are called is to faithfully present it. And as we reflect on our time in Acts, let me just highlight what we've learned before one final application. We have learned that as the people of God, we have a call to serve the risen Christ. Go into the world. It's quite clear that God uses us to bring the gospel message. We have an authority from God. When people often say, what right has the church to speak into situations or to be in different situations? Well, our authority comes from God. We are called to remain faithful to what we have received. That's why the word of God is precious. The word of God is God's manual, if you want, to teach us his ways and to teach us about how we are to represent him. No matter what the world may say, we take our learning and our leading from this book, the Holy Bible. We are to worship together, which we do each week and on other occasions. We are to build a community, the book of Acts tells us. A community where we spend lives with each other, we engage with each other. A community that is warm and welcoming, because God's love is warm and welcoming for all. We are reminded that serving as God's people is not easy. Thankfully, in this land, it is relatively easier than in other places. But people will ridicule the people of God for believing, as I've said, in myths and making-up stories. We are called to serve God, and for the most part that is done locally. And for me, that is the great learning point and the challenge that we're going to take away from this passage and from the book of Acts. There is a job still to be done. Let me give you a statistic, and I guess you've always got to be wary of statistics, but here is what a recent survey concluded. 97% of the world, that is 6.7 billion people, have heard of what? They've heard of Coca-Cola. They've heard of Coca-Cola. 97% of the world, 6.7 billion people, have heard of Coca-Cola, while only 75% of the world have heard of Jesus. Now you might say, isn't it remarkable that from a small group of believers that 75% of the world have heard the gospel message of Jesus? But that still leaves 1.7 billion people in our world who have never heard of God's saving grace and love. We're fortunate in this land, most people have some exposure to the Christian faith, but we can't be complacent. We can't be complacent. There is an increasing need as more and more find God irrelevant in their lives. Perhaps at times with good reason to walk away from the church, that we need to realize there is a job to be done. There are still many who need to hear that God loves them. Because of the work and passion of people like Paul and Peter and others through the ages, the gospel message spread from Jerusalem into Judea, into all the world. And a challenge I think that we take away from all of Acts today is that we must continue to embody that same reality, to embody that same message of God's grace and love. Notice how many times I say that. We too passionately and faithfully must continue the work that God has set before us to bring the good news to all peoples and nations. Most likely we will not go on a long journey to far-flung places, but that does not mean that what we do is any less important. Our journey may be the first step beyond these church walls to bring the gospel message into this community and into the lives of those that we meet every day, to simply embody what it is to be followers of Jesus. And the next step, I believe, as a group of parishes that we need to engage with and to think about seriously, is to ask, do we reach into our communities in a real and meaningful way? Over these many years, we have tried to build up a good church community, a place where people can share their lives together. But I wonder, can we be more effective in reaching out to those who are lonely, who are lost, who are searching, who are seeking in our world today? I wonder how we can be more effective in bringing what we believe beyond this group of people, beyond our four walls in Virginia and in Billis and in Killincare and Munterconnet, and to ask how can we bring the gospel message, God's grace and love, into the lives of those around us so that they can make a choice to follow the living Christ. And you know, if we are truly to live out the biblical mandate to be God's representatives, we must not only exist for ourselves, but we must exist with an outward looking view to those who we come into contact with in this community today. There is a job to be done. I want to finish with verse 31, if you want to just cast your eye to that. I think it's a wonderful focus, prayer, and springboard to all that we've been looking at over these months in the Acts of the Apostles. This is what Luke finishes with, describing Paul. He says, he proclaimed the kingdom of God, and he taught about the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness and without hindrance. May we too in the Virginia group of parishes, in Billis, in Killincare, in Lurgan, Virginia, and Munterconnet, may we proclaim the kingdom of God and teach about the Lord Jesus Christ with boldness and without hindrance. Let's pray together. Lord, in your wisdom, you have chosen people through the ages to be the living embodiment of the graceful and loving gospel of Jesus. And we are thankful for the faithfulness of Paul and Peter, how the message spreads from Jerusalem to Samaria, into Syria and Turkey and Greece, into Italy, how the gospel message in the years that follow goes through the Roman Empire, how the message reaches the person of Patrick, and how Patrick shares the gospel message in our land and over the many generations, how the gospel message continues to be sustained and shared among many. And I pray sincerely that we as the people of God in this place, in this community at this time, would be passionate and bold without hindrance in sharing that same gospel of grace and love with those around us. And I pray all of this in the precious name of our living Lord Jesus. Amen.